Is everyone else hearing that?
Yes.
It sounds like us just hoovering his brain.
Oh, interesting.
It's getting louder. It's the longer we go on.
Sounds like your computer.
Have you ever hoovered your brain, Alistair?
I do very little hoovering, especially around my cranium.
Oh, gone.
Have I? Am I still here now?
No, you're still there.
The hoover's gone.
Oh, the hoover's switched off.
Cerebellum is spick and span.
It's quite spammy, that is true.
Well, spam in the front, yeah.
1,000 sketches in 1,000 days. Day 663. Sketch 1,034. Big and Grey.
See if your cerebellum copes with this Joycean masterpiece. Let's have Rich as Finian and Simon as Gladstone.
Okay. I want to put my junk in your trunk.
I'll be honest, mate, you wouldn't make any money putting drugs in an elephant.
Not even with these hypodermic needles.
Never talk to me again.
That's B. I want to know what's different about A.
Basically, it's like, oh, that's a funny thing. Junk in my trunk and junk in an elephant. And then it's like, yeah, I couldn't be arsed to actually write anything else.
I mean, seriously, what else do you write after you've said you shouldn't give drugs to an elephant?
Well, so the original version is, I'll be honest, mate, you won't make any money pushing drugs to pachyderms.
Oh, I remember now. Yes, because I said that was better. Because then the hippos can come in. But then the general feeling was, that's too much of a leap for people to go trunk, elephant, pachyderm,
yeah.
And also a hippo,
right.
Which is probably true.
Well, that's the only change.
But it's because one of them is putting drugs in an elephant, the other one is pushing drugs to a pachyderm. It's got a different...
Yes.
Pushing drugs to a pachyderm is a lovely phrase.
Pushing drugs, yes, it is a nice phrase.
Janet and Alan Arlberg book.
It does have something of that to it.
This kind of, there must be somebody who's written a series of children's books for adults.
Oh, they've done it like going on a beer hunt or whatever.
Yeah.
Go the Fuck to Sleep was a big one of a few years back, I seem to recall.
Yes.
So the whole book series of Nelly the Elephant Goes to Mexico is not going to work then.
What, to get cocaine?
Yeah, Nelly. I suppose, well, wasn't it Pablo Escobar? Did he have hippos in his zoo famously?
Yes, that's right. And they got loose and are now wild in the... Was he in Chile? I want to say it was in Chile.
Colombia.
Was it Colombia? That probably makes more sense.
Imagine if they were actually the brains of the operation.
It's possible.
Just saying. Now they're free. They got away. Because nobody expects the hippos.
I mean, it could have been just two big fat fellas in a suit.
And they've bred.
The two big blokes in a suit.
Yeah. They've just made loads more big fat blokes in suits. And they're all going around Colombia.
And that's how Pablo is still actually alive.
Well... Have you seen him dead with your own eyes? That's all I'm saying.
I've seen very few people dead with my own eyes.
I've never seen a dead body.
Wouldn't recommend it.
I can't think that I have either.
Actually, that's not true. I have at a funeral. A casket funeral.
That's exactly when you'd see them.
I haven't seen a dead in the street riddled with bullets in beefy Oxfordshire. Oh, every other day.
In terms of adult versions of children's books... I thought it was quite interesting, the difference between British and American sense of humour, because most people in my team are American, and we were chatting about various memes, and I mentioned the one that you see reasonably often about Winnie the Pooh, and it's a picture of Winnie the Pooh, and it says, there was no doubt Pooh missed Piglet, but he had enjoyed the bacon sandwich. And I quite liked that as a little gag. I found it quite pleasing. And the other two Brits on the call where I was describing this found that quite funny. The Americans on the team were appalled by it. And clearly, it was clearly kind of nasty humour, as far as they were concerned, which I thought was interesting.
Okay.
Well, if you compare, there's a very good video on YouTube about comparing the American office to the UK office. And one of the things they talk about was in the scene where David Brent does the very funny dance, he is basically just utterly humiliated and he's a kind of a bit of a miserable character with no redemption in him. And in the American office had the same scene, but in that scene, the Tim character takes pity on the David Brent character and starts dancing with him. So then they all the office start dancing stupidly.
Yeah.
And it's kind of how American comedy, they kind of want the person to have redeemable features because you want the hero to be likable, while in the British office, it's fine that the hero of the show is not likable and that you kind of...
Yeah.
That's kind of a thing that and it has no redeeming... There's no hope in the show.
You can't allow them any redemption or any form of change until the last episode of the series.
Yeah. It's the rules.
Yeah, it's a very interesting little thing because they're both very good shows, the American and the British Office. But they're very, very different.
And often very different.
It's very much in that kind of the atmosphere that is around that.
American
character.
Shows are always aspirational, even if they're about failures. They're still about failures who are better than you, or likable and lovable. Have you seen Life on the Road, the David Brent film?
No,
because the songs are funny, they're good, but mostly it's horrible. It's so unpleasant.
Yes.
Like, if you think David Brent gets his redemption at the end of series two, he's fucking destroyed for an hour and 40. You know, it's such an unpleasant way. I found it quite grueling watching.
It's pretty grim, yes.
Not very funny either, but I quite like the songs.
Well, yeah, it's an interesting observation with the Americans that you've seen that they don't like the dark side of humour.
Yeah, they found it kind of a bit brutal. The other thing that was the interesting thing was I was talking to them about doing this sketch group and the sketch shows and stuff like that, and their immediate response was, have your children seen the comedy? That was the question they asked, which I thought was a really interesting question because they asked it in a sort of like they really thought that would happen. And I explained that it probably wasn't appropriate content for the children and stuff like that. And they were quite sort of, that was considered a very risque thing, I think. And it could easily be just this group, but, you know, they thought, goodness, that's...
What age did they think your children were?
Well, they know how old my kids are.
So are they saying they would never do anything in their life that wouldn't be acceptable to a 7-year-old?
Well, I don't think they were complaining.
Have they had sexual intercourse? Yeah. What a weird
yes,
thing
but only in front of them.
Oh, damn! Cut that.
No. And I'm not. This is. I'm not in any way saying this is a bad thing about them. I think it's.
I am.
I thought it was really interesting. It was a really interesting question. Like, there's just a kind of cultural assumption about it, I suppose.
1,000 Sketches in 1,000 Days was written by the Albion Basement. It was performed by Richard Catherall and Simon Tui. It was produced by Alistair Turvitt. The music is by The Evenings. See you tomorrow.